everyone. Very warm welcome to you all. It's a delight to be able to minister with you this morning. And before we look at God's word, let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are Almighty God. How great thou art. And as we look into your word this morning, we know that you speak through your word. And so I ask that you would speak through your word to each one this morning, to honor and to glorify your name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was 21 and had left home a married man before my parents bought a TV. It was almost like they were waiting for me to go. And so when we bought our first TV at home, and there's quite a number of you here old enough to remember that back then, if you were sitting watching TV and you didn't like what you were watching, you had to get out of your chair, walk to the TV, and change the channel. Of which there were only two. BBC and ITV. And I can remember the birth of BBC Two. Then the advent of the remote came along. And you could change the channel while sat in your armchair. But that was pretty much it. However, our remotes now, you can press play, of course. But if you doze off halfway through, you can rewind. Or if you like us and we record pretty much everything we watch, we can fast forward through the adverts. And also a frequent occurrence in our house is we have to press pause so that we can go and make a cup of tea or put the heating on or turn the water off. So a remote is a very, very useful thing. And when it comes to life, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could live your life with a remote in your hand? For those occurrences in your life that you really enjoyed and you'd love to go through it all over again, you can press rewind and relive those moments. Or if you're sat in a dentist's chair and the drill is at work in your mouth, you could press fast forward. Or you might be just in that moment you think, oh, wish this would last forever. You just press pause. But life's not like that. Life is constantly on play. We can't rewind, we can't fast forward. We can go moment by moment, minute by minute, day by day. We have to go through. We have to go through. It's interesting that in Scripture, that word through is mentioned 788 times. Through. I may have mentioned before, I had a prayer partner who's now with the Lord. And one of his favorite sayings was, Rod, there is a beginning, there is a middle, and there is an end. Well, for him, he's at the beginning of eternity now, but that was one of his favorite sayings. But we found that when the children of Israel reached the Red Sea, they only had one option. That was to go through. Then when they found themselves in the wilderness for 40 long years, for them to go to the promised land, they had to go through the wilderness. fact, David said in Psalm 77, verse 19, your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters. Though your footprints weren't seen, you led your people like a flock. Folks, there are times in our lives when his footprints may not be seen, but we are still led like a flock by the hand, as David says. But in our Bible reading this morning, it spoke of other elements that we sometimes find ourselves going through. In Isaiah 43, verse 2, it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. No flame will burn you. I'm hoping you're getting the picture that God very seldom takes us out of our circumstances. He takes us through them. God does not work in minutes, days, and hours. I find he works in seasons. I don't know what season you're going through at the moment, but you're going through it. It's vital we understand that. Sometimes we pray, Lord, I want this, I need this, I need this. God seldom takes us out of a situation, but he always takes us through it. I wonder if you've been feeling overwhelmed this week with the circumstances that you feel you're going through. Are you overwhelmed? Do you feel like you're wading through waist-deep water? I find it hard. I swim a lot in the sea. And I find it hard, if the waves are breaking, to wade through anything deeper than that. What happens when you're trying to wade through it when it's like this? Yes, the Word of God says it will not overwhelm you, but God still takes you through when the waters are running fast. Are you feeling the heat this morning? Does it feel as if you're walking through the fire? Malachi 3 verse 2 speaks of God like a refiner's fire. Are you feeling the heat? Good. Because we have that wonderful picture of the purification of gold, and that only happens when the heat applies. And only the refiner, God, knows how long that heat needs to be applied for the purity to come through. The gold is never destroyed by the fire, incidentally. It's the dross that floats to the top that gets taken off. The potter knows how long that clay has to stay on the wheel, so that it's fashioned into something that's usable, valuable, a thing of beauty, a vessel to contain the glory of God. But the potter determines, not the pot, how long it stays on the wheel for. Ray Palmer, 1830, you've probably never heard of the man, declared this: if God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. If God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. We sometimes sing the words of a song that goes like this: in days of peace and days of rest, in times of loss and loneliness, though rich or poor, your word is true, that all my ways are known to you. No trial has come beyond your hand, no step I walk beyond your plan. The path is dark outside my view, still all my ways are known to you. And oh, what peace that I have found wherever I may be, for all my ways are known to you. Hallelujah. They are known to you. Isn't that precious? All our ways are known to him. May have given you this illustration before, I don't know, but back in the 90s, we were on Fermain Beach one day, and we'd been swimming, Judy and I, and I stayed in the water longer, and when I came out the water, she was sat on the shore side, crying her eyes out. I couldn't understand it. I hadn't said anything wrong. I hadn't done anything wrong. She was bawling her eyes out. I said, what's the matter? My bathers are wet. I said, of course they're wet. You've been for a swim. No, I haven't. Where am I? How did we get here? And I realized she'd lost her memory. She'd gone in the water. Cold shock. Cold water shock syndrome kicked in. She didn't know where she was, why she was there. We had no mobile phones in those days. I had to get somebody to look after her whilst I went to phone for the ambulance. I didn't know what was happening. We went to A&E, and we were seen by a doctor there, and all the way in the ambulance, what time is it? Where are we going? Why are we here? Every minute I was being asked the same question. I'd give her the same answer, and it didn't stick. So the doctor came to see her, examined her, and he said, I'm going to give you 5 words to remember, and I'll come back in 5 minutes. He'd no sooner gone out through the curtain, and I said, what 5 words did the doctor give you? She said, what doctor? I haven't seen no doctor, let alone the 5 words. It took about 24 hours, 36 hours before everything came back and things were back to normal. But he told her to remember 5 words. And I'm going to give you 5 words that I want you to remember this morning. It shouldn't be hard. And if you get home and somebody reminds you, what did the preacher say? What preacher? I didn't hear no preacher. Hopefully you will remember the 5 words, because in the old King James, which I do love, these 5 words are mentioned no less than 452 times. And it's these words, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. Wonderful words. 5 words. In Genesis 8, verse 6, it says, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. That flood must have felt forever. Imagine being cooped up in a boat. It was bad enough when we had COVID on our last cruise, 5 days in a cabin. Can you imagine more than a year in an ark with a whole load of smelly, noisy animals? But it says in Genesis, and it came to pass. The flood came to pass. There was a limit that God put on the time that that flood would endure. In Exodus 12, verse 51, it says, and it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now for them it was hundreds of years they had to wait. But it still came to pass. The Bible says, and it came to pass. It doesn't say, and it came to stay. And folks, that's the words I want to bring to you this morning, that whatever you're going through, and you will be going through it, not out of it, it shall come to pass. God promises it. James 1 verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Persevere, continue, press on, take hold. All these words are mentioned when it comes to enduring whatever is going on in our lives at the moment. Somebody very wisely said, "You can endure anything if you know it's not going to last forever." Isn't that true, folks? I can survive an hour in the dentist's chair. If I was there for 3 weeks, that might be a different situation. But if you know it's not going to last forever, and whatever we're going through, even if it lasts us a lifetime, that's not forever. And it's not always possible to say how long it will be that we're called to go through a situation. You might be saying this morning, it's all very well you saying there's a beginning and a middle and the end, and I'm right in the middle of it right now. Well, press on, for it shall come to pass. There was a daughter who was really going through a very, very difficult situation. It seems, you know, longer solved one problem, another one came along. She was deeply depressed and really had come to the end of wanting to live. Her father was a chef. And one day he said to her, "Come into the kitchen. Come with me into the kitchen." And so she came into the kitchen and he got out 3 pots, filled them with water, put them on the stove. And then he got out some carrots. He got out an egg. And he got out some coffee beans. And when the water had reached boiling point, he put the carrots in one pot. He put the egg in another pot, and he put the coffee beans in another pot and left them there for 20 minutes. By which time the girl was saying, "Well, what's all this about, Dad? What have you got to tell me?" He said, just wait a minute. And so for 20 minutes, the carrots, the egg, and the coffee beans were in this boiling water. Then he took them out and put out 2 bowls and a mug. And at the end of those 20 minutes, he put the carrots in one bowl, he put the egg in another bowl, and he poured the coffee into the mug. "What do you see?" he said. He said, "I see carrots, I see an egg, and I see coffee." "Ah, yes," he said, "but what do you see?" He said, "I see carrots, egg, and coffee." He said, "Yeah, but listen. When those carrots went into the water, they were hard, they were strong. When they came out of the water, they were soft and mushy and no substance to them at all." He said, "Break open that egg." So she broke the shell and, of course, as you'd expect, it was hard boiled. He said, "When that egg went in the water, it was soft, it was malleable. Now it's become hard." And he said, "What's happened to the coffee beans then?" She said, "Well, it's become coffee." He said, "Exactly." And he said, "With the circumstances that you've got in your life, You can either allow those circumstances to make you soft and mushy and no strength, you're weak. Or you can make those circumstances make you hard, indifferent, stiff. Or you can change the circumstances into something that is beneficial, flavorful, and good. He said all those three items were subjected to the same environment, but only one changed the environment it was in. I thought, what a terrific lesson for us to learn with what life can throw at each one of us. It can either make us weak, hard, or it can make us into something beautiful. How do we handle our adversities? Of course, there's another experience that we all have yet to go through. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And that's a valley that we sometimes think about with some dread. My dear mother, she's been in glory a few years now, and she used to say, "I'm not worried at all about when I die, but I'm a bit worried about how I'll die." And that can loom large in people's lives. There is a fear. And yet David said, "I will fear no evil as I go through that valley." How could he say that? "Because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And also the comfort that I get out of that verse is, it's the shadow of death. For there to be a shadow, there also needs to be light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." He's going to be with us even in that valley. "Thy rod, thy staff, they shall comfort me." It's worth remembering that even when it's time to go through that valley, it shall come to pass. Paul put it this way when he was thinking about the conflicts, the things that he had to go through life. He said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God may be seen, and it may not be of us. We are pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Folks, the very reason that you're still here this morning means you have not been destroyed by what you're going through. Perplexed maybe, but you're here. Even though you're going through it, bless you for being here this morning. You're persevering. You're continuing. You're going through. I want us to read together the verses that are up on the screen now that we read in Isaiah. Let's read it out loud together. Somebody here needs to know this and apply it. "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Maybe you need to hear that this morning. The words of Jesus were, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Lord is saying this morning, come to me and I will give you rest. We're going to have a time of worship now, and we're going to sing two or three songs together. But I want to give you folks the opportunity to respond to the word this morning. Maybe there is someone here that needs to come to the Savior and he will give you rest. Perhaps you're really going through an overwhelming flood, the hot fire. The elders will be here to pray for you. As we sing, if you want prayer, please feel free to come forward and ask for the strength to go on. It's a new week tomorrow, new challenges, or it may be a continuation of the challenges of last week. Why do it alone? Bring them to the Lord. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Do not be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. We're going to stand and sing, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green." And as we do, if you want prayer, please come forward. Thank you.